Congressman Peter Welch, wonderful to have you with us, as it always is. We're very flattered that you agree to give up this very valuable time. When you were in the minority, hey, you found a little time for us. But the majority, you got to really work hard, don't you?
Well, we're busy, and as you know, I serve on the Intelligence Committee, and we're in the middle of the beginning of our impeachment hearings, a public hearing of many of the witnesses who appeared in private. And I'm on oversight, and I'm also on energy and commerce, so we've got a lot going on.
Well, the yada 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 has always been, okay, you'll impeach him in the House, but the Senate will not convict. Do you have full faith in that prediction, or do you think that the Senate might actually turn?
Well, if the vote were today in the Senate, I think they'd support Trump. We know that's the case. But what's happening is that as information comes out and the public is seeing how bold and explicit the president's conduct was, it's starting to change minds. And that ultimately will have an impact, I think, on the Senate. You know, our House hearings are going to be public. These witnesses like Ambassador Taylor, everybody's going to hear from them. The public is going to hear from them just what I heard when I was in the closed session. And that could change minds, and it could change senator minds. So it's to be determined, but a lot will, I think, turn on what the impact of these public hearings is on the public.
So, if the public leans on the Republican senators, you think they're capable of changing their mind on conviction?
I think it'll be a big factor for many of those Republican districts, many of those Republican senators. You know, here's the dilemma that we face, and it's really a dilemma as a country. There's a huge partisan divide. You know, a lot of my Republican colleagues are saying that this impeachment is partisan. But the dilemma we have in this country is that everything's become partisan. You know, the health care bill, it was a party line vote. Climate change tends to be party line. The budget has often been party line, and that is an affliction that somehow, some way, our country has to get through. Donald Trump seems to revel in that. His approach is to stoke the divisions and passions. But we've got a duty here. Many of us were very reluctant to walk down the impeachment road because we do, in fact, know it's divisive. And for a long time, Speaker Pelosi and many of us were resistant. But at a certain point, I think really with Ukraine, what was politically inconvenient became constitutionally essential. So we've got to do our job and let the chips fall where they may. We're going to do it in a way that's very sober. You know, none of us want to be involved in an impeachment hearing or vote. That's the last reason any of us came to Congress. But the Constitution does provide that remedy for extraordinary circumstances, and our job in the House is to do the inquiry and then vote on what in effect is an indictment, yes or no, on impeachment, and then the Senate has its job to do with the trial.
And which of you will manage, because there's always a manager in the Senate, which person from the House of Representatives will be basically the prosecutor in the Senate?
You know, I don't know. I mean, the obvious person who's been the leader here, and I think, in my view, doing an excellent job, is Adam Schiff. But I think there are a number of options as to how you would proceed with the presentation of the case. And that could also include outside counsel. So no decision on that because we haven't even voted yet on the impeachment inquiry here.
Let's go to Paris. There's the Paris Climate Accord and U.S. getting out. And climate change, which is such a terrible problem, which we've all seen firsthand, California and everywhere else. So, what are your thoughts? Is it just hopeless?
With Trump, it is hopeless. I mean, his approach on climate change is beyond denial. His approach is to climate change, bring it on. It's like, you know, however much the climate is changing, we're going to increase carbon-based energy programs. That's what the president is doing, literally. You know, he's getting rid of regulations that that have high mileage standards. He's getting rid of regulations that even the oil industry supported about flaring at drilling sites, and that methane that goes into the air is extremely significant in its contribution to carbon emissions. So the president is not only a denier He is a promoter of the intensification of the use of carbon fuels. And it's absolutely crazy. I mean, everybody knows that the weather is just getting wild. And the danger, I think, that is really causing considerable anxiety, even among everyday citizens, not just scientists, is people know you reach a tipping point, and it's not as though you can just undo it, flip the switch off and say, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. So in order to protect ourselves, we have to get going aggressively yesterday. And President Trump is doing everything to make the situation worse.
For a guy like you who has been the champion of all of this concern about the environment, it's got to be very disheartening, doesn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, what I'm finding, Alan, is that it's not just a guy like me. It's really everybody, you know, farmers in Vermont, folks in the ski industry in Vermont. But where I'm seeing it most is with young people. I mean, they get it. And they want behavior change. They want system change with respect to how we produce our energy. And they know they're going to be living much more acutely with the consequences, and their kids will be as well. So among young people, there's a real passion to take on the challenge, even at some personal inconvenience. But there's also an awareness that denying climate change is, in fact, for losers, because if you deny the existence of a problem that's real, you don't solve it, you make it worse. If you take on the challenge of solving a serious problem, oftentimes you not only feel better because you're doing something that needs to be done, you create jobs, you create a new way of doing our economy, you create opportunity. And young people are just really raring to go on taking on the challenge. And President Trump is pretending there is no challenge before us.
Do you ever think you're just lucky to come from Vermont? You know,
every
Vermont,
day.
Because Vermont, not only because it's beautiful and all the rest of it, but because Vermonters are so rational.
Every day, I think that. Every single day.
Isn't that something? Okay, talk to me a little bit about whether, now that we're pulling out of Paris, the Paris Accords, do you think that once Trump is out of there, assuming the Democrat wins the next time, this can be changed?
I do, because I think that even with Trump, in all his climate denial and bravado bring it on approach, many of our companies, including energy companies, know the future. They just know this is not sustainable, and they're making adjustments. You know, we've got a utility in Vermont where they're promoting power walls, where they're basically getting clean energy for electricity. We've got, in our state, many states, a real effort to start addressing the challenges of transportation and heating, which is where a lot of our problem in Vermont exists with carbon emissions. So even though the president's got his head in the sand on this, it's actually not in the sand. It's just a way of him being divisive. He's doing this in a very self-conscious way. That's what makes it so, in my view, deplorable. But I know that a lot of Republican, Democratic people, a lot of CEOs know what I was saying about young people, and they know that the climate is changing, and they know that their market opportunities are going to be in clean, efficient energy. So there's a lot going on now, despite the president's denial. And if you then have a president who wants to help us create policies that make it easier for folks in companies and in their homes to contribute to carbon reduction, that's going to really mean that we can make aggressive strides ahead.
Thank you so much, Peter Welch, one of my great heroes as far as the environment is concerned and just in general thinking. Thanks for being with us. When we come back the next time, I want to ask you about the USMCA.